Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored. And I can never thank Allah much for giving me this opportunity to be able to speak to you all that's out there in radio land. This is Block Talk Radio, New Africa, excellent Murad Speaks. And we come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. We've been in over 7 years, going on 8 years, and surely I had no idea, brothers and sisters, that I would be able to be on the air for 7, 8 years. This is not what I signed up to do. My job was to go to the world. My job was to be on ABC, NBC, CBS, USA, Showtime, pay-per-view, closed circuit. And I did just that, and I thought I was going to stay there. Who had any idea? I surely didn't, and no idea that I would be on the radio. But I came on the radio to speak, and the brother decided, Alfred, that he would give me a few weeks to speak on the air, and took him viral. Yeah, it took him viral, and his wife came to me and thanked me. And so I said, oh, I will stay on, and I did. I never thought I would be on for 7 years. And something happened. Whatever happened, it was Allah's will that I couldn't get on the air, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And then I got a call from the people that tuned in on Tuesday that knows that I am on the radio. And those people said, we don't hear you, we hear someone else. I had no clue what was going on, but I had to fix that right away, so I called Block Talk Radio myself. And when I realized I had to have 7 shows a week and 52 shows out of the year, I was not going to sign up for that. But something say, do that. That's the angels talking to me. And I followed my thoughts. And I signed up, going on 7 years. But if I signed up just for myself, I couldn't have done it. I felt that at least I can put people in position that probably would never, ever would have reached the airways. And I did just that. And I don't charge them that one nickel. Of course, they don't charge me one nickel, but they're free to their family. They're free to talk to their friends. They are free to talk to their aunts and uncles. They are free that the grandmothers can listen to them. They are free that the next door neighbor down the street in your community will hear you. More important, that their great grandchildren will hear what they have said. Why? Because that's technology. Once you come on the air, it stays there. You know, I was telling a young lady, very highly intelligent young lady, and she sent me a picture. When she sent me a picture, I said, you shouldn't do that. It had nothing to being nude. It had something with being with a gun. Yes, a physical gun. And I said, that's going to come back to haunt you. Don't you ever put anything on the air that you don't want to come back to haunt you. Because they'll make something of it. That'll be a job. But the girl that's running against you is just as equal, but you got a little edge. You got a little edge, your continuity of your years of being in the position that they want to elevate you to another position, but they don't give it to you because they saw that picture. So once on the internet, stay on the internet. Not only with your picture, with your words. You got to be very careful what you say because it'll come back to haunt you. I know a young lady that her husband took the data from the computer, and his wife went crazy because he shouldn't have done that. But he really didn't know. He just wanted to keep her off. But what she was fearful of, what was on there that he didn't know. What she does not know, whatever's on there that he doesn't know, don't you ever think the powers of be does not know. Because when you're a threat, they go right on in. And they find out who you are. And you think you playing, you think you gaming, you think you getting over. No, they know you. They know you better than your husband. Player. You do things that you ought not to do, but it comes back to choke you. It comes back to this be shameful of the despicable things that you have done in the dark, but you haven't told nobody. But it comes to the light. You know, my mother said something to me very profound. She said, when a woman charges you and you're not doing anything, don't you say something to your mind, what's wrong? I said, yes. Quite sure if one did it to me and I haven't done it, I want to know what's wrong. And my mama said to me, my beautiful mother said to me, because she's doing wrong. See, wrong people don't look for wrong things. And I taught my children, all my sons, not my daughter, my sons. Let me tell you something, young man. Don't you ever go behind your wife. Don't you ever spy on your wife. Don't you ever look for wrong when it comes to your wife. You hear me? Yes, sir. I said, you want to know why? Of course they want to know why. I said, because you may find something that'll bust your heart. Shouldn't have looked for it. Now, they were 4 or 5 years old, my sons. And they never forgot that, but when they got to a certain age, brothers and sisters, they said to me, oh, Dad, what happened if it's true? That you find out it's true. You didn't look for it, but you found out. I said, you got to deal with that. You have to deal with that. I said, now you say how I would deal with it? I got a problem. That I got a low-life, no-good wife that's a part of me and why she may give me trouble. But I have a responsibility. He said, what's that? You have to fix it. 10 years old. Yes. Allah wouldn't give it to you if you couldn't fix it. You don't put a burden on a person that would stand and says your wife and children is nothing but a trial. Nothing but a trial. Well, what trial is Allah going to try you? That he gave you a person that got a sickness. They took on another God. What is it? It could be drugs. What is it? It could be sex. What is it? They're a thief. They're a liar. That's your trial. That's in the Quran. But the trial don't mean get rid of her. The trial means you got to deal with her. And if she realizes that you tried to help her, she'll do a 360, meaning Allah will help her clean up. Because she appreciates that her husband is protecting her. You see, women got this theory, this imagination in their mind, it means money. Oh, you're supposed to protect me. You're supposed to provide for me. Well, I always ask the question, what about that female that you never got a degree and she's a doctor? Yes, she's a doctor. So me and she going to make $250,000 easy. And if she keep on being a good doctor, she's in the seven figures. She's a millionaire. But you will never make a million. So couldn't be that. Can't be that. Because Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her and grant her paradise, she had all the money. Her money and her husband, I assume, because she was a widow. So Muhammad the Prophet didn't have one nickel. But he was a good man. And she went for him. So it can't be money. That alone gives you the understanding that that's not what God is talking about. He's your provider. He's your protector. No, you come from Satan, and Satan says that the man's supposed to have the money, but I'm not going to give it to him. So you can what? Tell him to get out. He's not going to get a job. He's not going to be successful. It is written. We wrote in our law to not give that black man a nickel or dime. But teach that woman that he got to get out. So you like a fool, my sisters, throw the significant foundation of your life out the window. Now, I'm not saying you can wait. If he's an abuser, he should be kicked out. No man puts their hands on you. No man is supposed to abuse you. But I'm not talking about that. We get upset. And a lot of things upset us. You know what really upsets you? When you find out that you got another woman. Oh, are you upset? You start drinking. You start fornicating. You start doing it because you are emotionally upset. Oh, that's amazing. That is really amazing, brothers and sisters, what's going on out here today. You know, a lot of our females have moved into Atlanta. And you want to see some muscle-bound, good-looking, educated young men go to Atlanta. But in Atlanta, they have a phrase called down low. What the hell is down low? Because a man comes home to you. A man wakes up to you. A man makes love to you. A man very educated and pleasing to look at. But when he leaves the house at a certain time, he stoops down. He becomes the female. So you married to a he, she. Why? Because that was your thing. Go to Atlanta Hall, find me a man, a good-looking man, educated man. And you know, most of your women love a man with muscles. Gotta have muscles. You're right. But don't have common sense. They realize that he was created to be a man. You can't blame that on God. He chose. Allah gives you permission to choose, and you make that choice. Well, where does this racism come from? That's my topic tonight. Racism did not start. No. Racism did not start with nobody but Satan. Racism started with Satan and not in America. I don't want to talk about that this evening, inshallah, because I'll change in a minute. I have so much in store in me that sometimes the angels, and I'm not being spooky because it can't be me, but will get me to change the whole subject. Something would tell me, tell them this. A student of Imam Walter Thing Muhammad, and I take pride in saying so. I'm your host tonight, Murad Muhammad, and I try my best to give you. I was taught by him to read in the Quran and get all the fairy tales out your head. And if you do so, watch you will soar, because now you can see Allah. Under the law of Rabbil Alameen, I don't know nothing else. I'll be remiss if I say to you, my success is because who I am. My success is because I submit to the will of God. And I know he's in charge. And things have proven that to me. Oh, I've been to trial error. I've been where no one thought I can do this, I can do that, because I always told people what I would like to do. My mama said, stop that. Because if you can't do it, they hate you. They'll abuse you. I said, Mama, I got to motivate them. Yes, but you in the project talking about you going to the world. You have nothing. You're talking about you're going to be on the stage of Radio City Music Hall. You just getting out of grammar school, going to high school. What you got, son? I said, I got God, Mama. And I don't want it just for myself. I want to give it back to the community. Because most of us give it to our family. We give it to no one but our blood, as we say. Nobody gets nothing. I never thought like that. Never, as a youngster, never thought like that. Always wanted to help. Always wanted to be a part of a community. And I couldn't say it like that when I was young. I can say it now. I sure couldn't say it like that when I was young because I didn't know how to speak those kind of words. And I've been told, and surely I have been in those positions, because at one time I couldn't even speak. I wouldn't speak because I used to hang with men that was 4 or 5 years older than I. And they had education. I'm still in seventh grade. I didn't have that education. So I shut up. But when I spoke about everything that I thought would be good. I have a brother now that's older than I. And he simply says, man, you was our leader. Now, how could I be your leader? I'm not even a teenager yet. He said, but you came up with ideas that's for us from going to jail. I don't do wrong. I didn't do wrong back then, and I'm not going to do wrong now. But when I learned and started studying in Revelation and put my mind together in the things that I believed that I could do, I knew it could not happen unless I trust in God himself. And when I studied under the Imam Waqif Muhammad, I learned that everything that's good is already written, but you got to get up and go get it. So Satan, Iblis, he's going to get in your way. He don't care about anything. All he cares about us. Why? He's jealous. Just like you are, sister, he is jealous. You can't stand if that man had another one. All these women out here needs help. But you don't want your husband to help. Why? That help might go a little further. So you don't understand the jinn. And I'm waking up to realize most of y'all don't understand the jinn. You don't know there's a jinn in you, and his job is to take you to the hellfire. But you submit to that jinn. This is why, my sister, I'm quite sure you feel like that guy that just murdered someone. The trigger was hard. It was hard to pull that trigger. But he was told he would get 500. He can join the Bloods or the Crips or whatever organization, but you got to kill somebody. Isn't that amazing? In order to be in, you got to be a murderer. You got to be a killer. You got to be cold blood calculated. But what happens when that young man goes to pull that trigger is too tough to pull it. Why? That's his morals. That's his conscience. But he be trying to pull that trigger because he wants to be alone. He wants to get along. He wants to be around all the sex and the drugs. But he pulls the trigger. And when he pulls the trigger, he runs home. He's sweating. He's in his closet. Don't know what he has done or why did he do it. That's his conscience coming back. He feels bad about it. But guess what? He got to do it again. Again, yes, he got to kill another person.
So this time when he pulled the trigger, it's a little easier because he did it before. This time he don't run home, he walks home. But he's still upset. Why? Because that conscience is dead. You did something wrong, young man. What the hell are you doing killing people? But when the third time comes, he kills them, the trigger's easy. He don't walk home. He sure ain't running home. He go have a drink. Go eat some dinner. It's not even on his mind no more. He's a murderer. He's a killer. Well, the same way with the female. She allows Satan to say, give it up. You've been protecting yourself all your life. You found out your husband done stepped up. Get up. And you lie at man answering to you. Oh, you come home, you take a hot bath, you take a cleaning out, and you stay in the shower for 3 hours because, well, that's your conscience. You don't want to do it, but you did it. You feel bad about it. But the same God gets you out again. And you remember how good it was the first time. You do it the second time. Now you're messed up again. But you don't stay in the shower too long. You don't take a bath. And you forgot to do the cleaning. It don't let you do the third time. Now, I know there's an exception to the rule, but I'm talking to those who have done it. You have done it so much that you can't even count how many people. That's Satan. Satan took your conscience away, took your morals away. You have no family out here. You're partying. You're having a good time, and you don't even worry no more because almost you get high, you get drunk. I don't care if it's wine or reefer or coke. You're drunk off of what? Submitting to Satan. Come back. You can repent. Come on back. And that's our trial, you men out there. Pray that Allah will allow us to come back. And what the Quran says, if you take her back to abuse her, you will be punished severely. Meaning, Allah don't worry about that. That was your test. That's my test. And she ended up being the most beautiful person you ever had. Because how low can she go? She can't go nowhere else but up. You got to go up. This is life, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to give it to you here on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Marat Speak. Clear, direct, simple. If the shoe fit, wear it. Just don't buy them shoes because they will fit. Because Satan knows how to make it to paradise. Now, you say, Marat, you speak about the woman all the time. And I know you love them because you love your mother, so you love women. But why you put more emphasis on the female than the man? Well, my sister, don't you know Satan stopped all of y'all, allow all y'all to be freaks and crazy over sex or getting high or getting drunk? He wouldn't be here. No man can carry a baby. No man can deliver a baby. Every human being, whether they was the messenger of God, every human being, whether they was our prophets, every human being, I don't care how intelligent he is, could not come into this world unless he come through that womb. That's why I talk to you. So you say, well, I'm too old to have babies. You read Sarah. Too old. What do you think the mind is? That's where the real children come from. You're able to carry that baby. You're able to instill that into that man and allow that man to see the world that you gave him birth to, his ideas. But we don't do that. We have no sense of why we was created. So I don't have time to go through all those things to tell you tonight. I'll give you something to think about. I will give you something to think about. Why are you here? Did you not know this is a temporary world for you to go through what you're going through? Because Allah said, you're going to prove it to me. You slipped up in heaven. Well, now you're down here on earth. Now, I have to say this. Means we was in the sky. No, brothers and sisters, we are not any type of monsters that came from a sky. We came from earth. Earth is not up in the sky. Earth is right here on earth. Now, no one came back and told us about paradise. But in my study, I'll come to the conclusion paradise in the hereafter will be on this earth. Oh, but Allah say, be and is, and you will be erased from everything you have done in this world, if it's good. Now, everything you've done bad that you didn't beg God for, before you get to the hereafter, you have to answer those questions. So these brothers was telling you Allah's going to come to the grave and you're going to stand up. You might as well go back to paganism, because that's all that means. Don't let nobody tell you that. That's stupidity. That's unintelligent. And I like to hear them say it because Allah didn't give it to them. But they didn't read the Quran. They just looked at it. Oh, they read. But let me tell you the difference of reading. Read Iqra. Read Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. Was there a piece of paper there? Was there an ink that someone wrote what Allah is supposed to learn? I don't think so. So how in the world that we can accept that? And he's a human being. Why is he a human being? For Allah said before he left, down Muhammad, that you are a mortal human being just like them. So what was he reading? Read, Muhammad. What was he reading, brothers and sisters? So what are you reading? What are you reading? Allah says, read. You know what? It comes to me because this is how beautiful your women can be. My wife said to me one day, come here in my Quran. I said, what do you say? She said, yes. I said, well, all of our nature is the Quran. Said, yeah, but you my Quran. I like that because we're all walking Qurans. This is what Aisha said when the question was asked to her. Tell me. Who is your husband? And she simply said, my husband is a walking Quran. So is he not out with Shwa? We're supposed to follow what? Brothers and sisters, we follow the nature in which he was created. And his job is to teach us to go in our nature. So that means you got to halal that nature. You got to make that nature a Muslim. And the only way you can do that, come out of this world in your mind. Now, don't think I'm telling you something, because you're misconstrued, because you got men walking around here waiting to die. They look like they come from another world. They want to dress like someone else. They don't want to be a part of everyday life. I guarantee you they don't care who wins and who loses. Tonight, I'm going to get off early. I want to hear what the man that's supposed to beat the president is talking about. That's what I want to hear. And I pray that he gets in, that Mr. Trump, President Trump, don't get in, because it's clear evident what he's doing, and what he's doing is not going to benefit us. But even though we push that ballot, who we want, you can push the button, but Allah is in charge. But you can't say Allah is in charge and you jump off the roof and believe Allah is going to save you. But if you tried every door, there's probably 20 different ways you could have got off that roof, and you just died and said Allah is going to save you out your mind. Because Allah says you take a step, he takes two. So that means you had to try all the doors and realize I'm going to burn up if I don't jump. So you trust in Allah. In your decisions the same way. You have to trust in Allah. Wait a minute. Since Allah is going to judge me and I can't judge nobody, but I at least can tell you if my outweighs his good. But I know what I got. I don't know what I'm going to get. Does he outweigh his good? You ain't think about that. Jealousy. Satan was created in fire. Fire. Allah created him in fire. Fire. Smokeless fire. That was his creation. He's been to the fire. He's pure. But that wasn't enough when Adam came. He forgot all about he was created out with fire. He was created out of fire, brothers and sisters. It's like the angels saying, I do nothing but the will of God, nothing else, whatever God tells me to do. But they get jealous of the jinn. Nah, his angels are perfect. Just the jinn and the human being has that choice. Isn't that amazing? So when the jinn, when you do wrong, brothers and sisters, and he convinces you, because the Quran says his schemes are weak, but he's able to trick you and con you. You're looking for muscles. You're looking for a freak. You want to be a freak. You're looking for all the things that Satan enjoys. Not your husband. He's a human being. He does not enjoy that. Now, if he went out and did that, he would enjoy it. But this is happening to his wife. This is happening to his mother. This is happening to his daughter. He don't like it. But the jinn likes anything that you do wrong. But when you serve God and you bow down to your Lord, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the masjid, he hates it. Meaning you got away. And he comes to get you. Because that's what he does. He's supposed to come get you. So you can't blame God that you made that decision, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased, once said, and it stays with me. He said, in the final day of judgment, you're going to say, the devil made me do it. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased, grant him Jannah, He said the jinn is going to tell you. He didn't call him the jinn, he called him the devil. So you can get it straight. You're just learning these words today. When he said the devil going to say, oh, no, Lord. I called them and they simply came. There it is. You want to kill that man. You found him in your bed because you have to come home early. Now you want to kill him. But who opened the door? All them locks, all them burning along. How did he get in the house? And it's going on so much that when you say you got robbed, they want to know how did he get in. That was the first thing the officer wanted to know. And when you realize nothing was broken in, who opened that door? Because you can't get in unless you open the door. But you didn't know that your husband was coming. So you got caught. So, man, you ask that, what are you doing in my bed with my wife? Hey, she called me, and I said, you can't. I know it seems different, but it's all the same. It's the jinn. Anything you do bad or wrong or think you sneak it, you worsen not Allah, you worsen Satan. You got it? Hopefully you did. Because you need to get it. You need to understand who we are living with every day. We wake up to them. We go to sleep with them. But that is your jinn. That is your burden. I can't help you with that jinn. I can't do it. I can show you what a righteous person should do. Am I perfect? Nope. There's no one on this planet perfect. Well, what makes the prophet perfect, Muhammad? Because it's taught that he's the perfect example. So what makes him perfect? Did he not give us Fatiha for 23 years all the way to Anas? Is that not the Holy Quran? And whose words are they? Are they his words or Allah's words? Simple common sense. They are law words, Mara. Well, that's what makes them perfect. Simple. Get out the car, you're making a mistake. So we're not perfect. But the consistency. If you're in school and you got a C and you got a B, for 5 months. But for the other 7 months, you got straight A's. Straight A's. So are they going to go back and talk about your C's and B's? You're an A student. You have elevated from being a C. You don't want to be a C no more. You don't want to be a D no more. You don't want to be a B. You want to be an A student. You can go to a junior high school. And you can go to that junior high and got enough money for 2 years. Go to Harvard because you can pay. Go to Yale because you can pay. And you come out of there with a 4.0. They will never talk about the junior high school. They will say, he's a Harvard graduate. Tuskegee with honor. That's me. But he reads. You got to know the good. You got to know the bad. So did his good outweigh what he did earlier in life? It's race. Doesn't exist. The junior high school don't exist. The junior college don't exist. He graduated from Harvard. That's what's going to sit on that wall. So when you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the final day of judgment, he won't judge you. He said, welcome to paradise, human. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So we say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessing of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant, messenger of God, which follows that salute and that salutation of that translation. To the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, peace and blessings be upon the prophet, that is mentioned in the Injil, in the Gospel, in the Bible, is also given to us in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sa'asa wa sulayam wa sawasu ali kareem, sadaqallah wa'adim. Brothers and sisters, we always like to say with God's name, the merciful benefactor and the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the world. We even do that when we go to the gravesite. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And some of us put our hands on the coffin, meaning we're talking about this one, Allah. We're begging you to separate his faults from his goodness, as thou separate the east from the west, and grant Jinnah. La ilaha illallah. And then you have some fool come tell you, no, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, because he can't difference that Allah has no partners. We don't need to say Muhammad Rasulullah, because he is not associated with God. He's not the son of God, and he surely is not God. Allah is absolute. But when we just mention prayers and we give the praise and the glory to Allah, we can say Muhammad Rasulullah for giving us a perfect example, but we understand the difference. This is who Allah asks us to follow his sunnah. And most brothers took it so that they thought the sunnah was to learn the hadith, because you will not know the prophet if you don't read what Brother Sheikh said, that Brother Sheikh, that some scholar or ulama said. No. I have nothing against any man. Jesse Jackson say things I'd like to say. Keep hope alive. Dr. King says things. He's been to the mountaintop. He's seen the glory of the promised land. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Freedom, justice, and equality. Remember what it means, Muhammad. Said divine mind. Those are very different sayings that we say and we appreciate. Should I tell you about Booker T. Washington, the war? We don't have to go through all of that. We get the praise and we glorify Allah to be above all of that. But we have a right to give them their credit. But the prophet wants us to give this one the continuity, because if you give Muhammad the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the peace and blessings be upon him, you've given the credit to all the prophets in one. Oh, you don't know that. There's no prophet over top of another prophet. So when you give him the salute, the salute goes for Abraham. Some say Abraham. It goes for Jesus. It goes for Joseph, Noah, Moses, and yes, your daddy, Adam, all of them in one, just saying prayers of peace be upon the prophet. And we say his descendants, because those companions were loyal. And his offsprings. Brothers and sisters, we put things in the proper perspective, we will understand it. But Murad, you love the Honorable Muhammad. Is he here today? Would you die for I give my life? Remember, see Muhammad, if he's here, I would give my life. Well, Ms. Farrakhan is here. What would you do? I would give my life. I don't understand it. You and the son of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see? You see, in the Quran it says, one who saved their life will lose their life. And one who give his life will save his life. Isn't that amazing saying? So why would I give my life for Ms. Farrakhan? Because I can't do what Ms. Farrakhan could do. What's that, Mara? Look at all the children he has raised. Why, that man raised more children than we do on the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Why? Because there's a lot of brothers from the Arab countries here, but guess what? Their children is getting in trouble. They won't tell you this. They get in trouble. They're doing drugs. And they become homosexuals. You heard it. It's a real world out here. It's a real world. So I'm quite sure if they love their children, a brother that know this religion, he would say to Allah, change my child to be what you created to be, and I'll give my life for it. I don't know a Muslim that read that Quran wouldn't give his life for his babies, his offspring. Now, that's when you get ready to shoot him. I'm talking about not one that would die and go, is one that you could save that would be all that you want him to be. Five prayers a day, fasting during the Holy Month of Ramadan, make it hot. He just turned around, did a 360. You wouldn't give your life for that? So I would give my life and stop that bullet that would kill Minister Farrakhan. Why? He's a handsome man. My mother says, I'm handsome. My wife says, I'm handsome. Why? He got plenty of money? I don't know. How much money he got? But I had a billion of my own, but I ain't counting the billions that I have. Why? Because he's older than you? Well, you do got wisdom. When it comes to him, I just got knowledge. He got wisdom. But he produced. The women are women. The women are loyal. The women know their place. Oh, they can run the biggest company in the world, but when they come home, their wife, their mother. How do you know that? I was in Al-Islam after coming from Islam from the leader of the Ahmadiyya Muhammad, because he instilled in us. He didn't teach us from the Quran, by the nature in which God created. Read Muhammad. Read in the name of the Lord that created. So the Ahmadiyya Muhammad gave us character. is that not in the crowd? Community, is that not in the crowd? No intoxication, is that not in the crowd? Marry your wife. Give her dignity, is that not in the crowd? For your brother, that what you want for yourself. Why do you love the devil? Because the devil gives us nothing. So don't tell me he wasn't teaching crime. He did it in actions and deeds. Before that, we love him today. And you tell me we got one alive? They're not on drugs. They're not committing. They're not being homosexuals. They're not going through women. They're not fornicating, committing adultery. Why do we jump to attention? Because we won. We won, brothers and sisters. We lost that. Fall victim of those who said that they was born in a religion and they over here and came to help their own country. They did. They would leave. They're not leaving. This is paradise over here. They still don't go through the hell we go through because they was told, do not help my niggas. And y'all looking for them. Y'all looking for them. I fear nobody. I'm a free man in the city. And the Holy Quran is my guide. That's what I do. If I do wrong, the difference from me and you, I get down and Sajjah and beg Allah to forgive me. It's the only difference in me. I might not do all the things you do, but I'm quite sure that I make mistakes. But when I feel I did something wrong, I beg Allah for forgiveness. I can make my wife upset because we men got ability to do so. And you catch yourself. If you can buy her 10 acres of land to ask for forgiveness, you'll do that if you had it. So what do we have? We have the Quran. It's greater than all of that. So racism, brothers and sisters, started with Satan, and he is not in America. Satan was here a long time ago. It started long before they came to this part of the world, even from Europe, because we was taught. They ran them out of Europe a long time before that. Do you know there is evidence that there was a seed of racism amongst the followers of Muhammad, the prophet? Now that's 1400 years ago. But it's true. It's true, brothers and sisters, that that happened. Isn't that amazing? So racism was back then, 1,500 years ago. Where was America? So it couldn't have started here. But isn't that amazing? It was amongst the prophet. The prophet had to correct his own followers for seeing Bilal as inferior. How could you be inferior in your human being? But he was inferior because what? The color of his skin. He was African. So this was the symptoms back then. We are all Bilal. You don't remember that? Amen. What was the Muhammad? Try to make us Bilalian. You remember? Didn't stick.
But look where he was trying to come and said, we're below. We're inferior because of the color of our skin. Too far from our minds, and we couldn't grasp it. We like the word, some of us. We are Blauians. So we started learning about Blau since we were Blauians, so we started learning about Blau. We all Blau. If he had the time, I wish I had the time. You remember what is it? Muhammad taught me this. If we had the time, I could go to the Bible and show you where this problem is in the Bible. It started a long time ago. Order for it to be in the Bible had to be existing before the Holy Quran came. Should I go any further? Yes, I can go further. Because it happened during time that Iblis decided to rebel. Now, how far was that? 100 years? No, it was farther than that. 1,400 years? No, it was farther than that. 6,000 years when Christianity is farther than that. So Satan rebelled because he didn't want to bow in submission. And Allah said, wait till I breathe into him my spirit. He still wouldn't bow. So he turned devil. And he asked for permission. Let me prove to you, Lord, that Murad Muhammad and all of them is not going to serve you, Lord. I'll come from the left, the right, the back, and the front, and they will curse you. And Allah said, go ahead, Satan. You have no power over them, which he does not. He said, but all of them that you tricked, I will send you and them to the hellfire. So there is a hellfire. And that means Satan ain't in charge of the hellfire as we was taught in Christianity. Trust in your Lord when you're making a decision. You have to trust in God. Oh, Lord, allow me to help my mother. That's my decision. I'm going to leave school. I'm going to raise my mother. I'm going to help my mother. But when you take on that decision, put your trust in Allah. Love those who put their trust in him. That's where the love comes from. When you put your trust in him, he gives you plenty of love. And you have to understand that. You can't do nothing without his will. So therefore, I ask Allah to allow me to do that. Brother says, I can tell you stories. When I had the will to want to help, it was two women. Now, I'm not talking about my wife. My wife knew how to please me and make me sane. But she had no money. She couldn't give me money. So we were just making it. But I can come to my mother. And I said, Mama, I need $20,000. Now, where did my mother get $20,000? You call me a pimp. So, boy, you're a pimp. How you know I got that kind of money? All the way to the bank. He would give me that money. I said, don't worry, Mama. I'm going to give it back. You're going to be all right. Ah, oh, boy, you always coming to me. You're always asking for money. I had to have another way out because you can't keep going to your mother. It was my mother-in-law. She was a little more calm. Okay, you know the routine. Meet me downtown, and she gave me $25,000. So I trust in Allah.
both on left this world, please. They had everything. Diamonds, minks. Now, my Lord didn't want all that stuff. I built her a home from the ground. Who's this? It's yours. Oh, no. I ain't leaving your house. She has loved it in my home with her daughter. So she didn't see us when she passed. She would not go in the house. My daughter became a young real estate owner. She was only 17. I was in your house, but in your name. That was supposed to be grandma's house. Because why? She was there when nobody was there. So you have to sometimes, who helped Muhammad the Prophet? He wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for Khadijah. Don't tell me it's going to be in my movie. Today, you can't get it. You can take all your children and put it together, and they make $1 million correctly. You can't get a damn nickel from them, not one nickel, so that you don't even ask. Why? They don't understand. They don't understand that when you give, Allah gives you 100 back, not $100. Make that 100,000 years. Whoa, one day with your Lord. Anything you do of that Quran is with your Lord. And that's the blessings you get. But these children, they off the hook. But as soon as you back on top, here they all come. It's okay. Mama judged the way Allah judged. He said, well, why this one got more than me? Lord, I didn't know that you use a rule stick. Yes, he does. All you talking to me could be 3 million. One of us is closer to Allah than the other. Why? Because it's the one who's more mindful of their duties to Allah. That's how he does. He knows your heart. You can play like you love him, but he can check that heart and know you got to get in back of the line. You just faking. You conning, you tricking. You can trick me, you can trick the world, but you can't trick Allah. Yes. Allah, brothers and sisters, indeed, Allah does not wrong a people at all. You got good deeds, indeed. Allah does not wrong the people at all. But it is the people who are wronging themselves. And you can't hurt Allah, the Lord of the world. Who are you hurting? You. It's his spirit in you. So you decide to hurt yourself if you want to blame it on God. God don't accept that. He don't wrong any of us. That's your choice. Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth so that every soul may the benefit you'll get the benefits. So you recover, you get the blessings for doing good deeds. But what is in the earth, they will not wrong you. You won't get anything wrong if you're doing anything that's good that Allah trusts in you. And if he trusts in you, everything will be given to you. Got to be in your soul, though. You got to know your soul. Did you not know your soul can talk to you, brothers and sisters? You know, Allah says, simple. He says, I do not help a person, no people. I do not help a people that would not help what's bothering their soul. Well, what's bothering your soul? That's what Allah said. What's bothering your soul? So Satan says, I told you God don't like you. No, brother. Tell Satan, go to hell. Allah not saying that. If Allah gave you a soul to talk to him, to talk to you, and you're not listening, he's not going to help you. So you didn't know your soul talks to you, but you're not listening. Your soul is literally talking to you. I tell you all the time, something told me to tell you this. That's my soul talking. I'm in tune with my soul. But if you don't listen to what Allah has given you, why would he help you? But we don't listen. You know your soul, sister, told you not to put that man out. You know their soul told you not to make that decision, but you did it anyway. You didn't listen to your soul. And 9 out of 10 is catching hell right now. They're just free as a bird, looking for what they had. You ever heard the saying, opportunity only knocks once? Now, that's a pretty good saying, because Allah, that's man saying, that ain't Allah. But that's man. They got a point. Never get married again. You just run until you die. And that's what you want to do. I guarantee you, those same wives that used to pray every day don't pray. Nope. And then they want to justify it. You want to go to this church because they don't pray 5 times a day. But Allah won't punish you. But he said, be a good Christian. In Christianity, there's no drinking. In Christianity, there's no fornication. In Christianity, there's no committing adultery. But you just can't do those 5 prayers. You can't conceive in your mind, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So Allah says, okay, accept La ilaha. And believe in the hereafter, there will be no burden on you. But you can't go over there playing games and think you escape. It's a house of worship. So when you are attempting to lose patience with someone, you think about how patience Allah has with you. What patience do Allah has being with you? You ever thought about that, brother and sister? But that's in the Quran. That's the way you have to see life. Do Allah have patience with you? Yes, all the way to your grave. You just have to know how to repent. You have to know how to come to Allah. He's closing in your jugular vein. But you don't have patience with nobody else. I've seen people say, slay them. Get rid of them. Send them to jail. Send them to hell. I ain't doing nothing for them. But you don't look in the mirror. And you go to Allah and you beg Allah. And Allah has patience. Well, why would he have to have patience with you? You don't have patience for nobody. The Quran. That's in the Quran. Your community is a community of guidance, of business, of industry. That's a community. But we're not a community. So our community is guiding us. A community guides us of our business. Because you got to have business to have a community of industry. Look up the word industry, brothers and sisters. You think you're supposed to just get up, go to work, punch in the car, go home? That's it? We have a community. We have to create industry, everything that falls under that word. We have to produce. Allah makes all things clear. He will guide us. Yes, he guides us. He will guide it. Allah holds the key to life and death. And he wills remaining when all else passed away. Let's unite, brothers and sisters, and follow the Quran. And watch us build one ummah. Imam said, we can do this in every state. It's Allah. In every state. That's what I've been trying to do, is tell us to come together. But we're so hung up on ourselves. We're all out in the internet. This one doing his thing. 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 And the only time you can see is when you go on the internet. But if they had me in a court of law and asked me to put my hand on the Bible, I say, I stand firm. My word is bond. And for I lose my word, I'll give my life. My word is bond. Then I say, okay, and tell me all these different people on all these radio shows, and then are y'all together? Are y'all united? No. Do y'all talk to each other? No. Well, what is El-Islam? El-Islam is a community. Islam is a religion that God gave us. Well, God gave it to you. Why are y'all begging? You got nothing. Don't blame me. Blame Satan. I don't have them. Satan got them. These fools won't wake up and realize that we are national, more or less international. But hell, let's be national. We take the best we have. He's in charge. How many people can fly this jet? Because we got to get around. There might be only 10 out of 5 million. How many people on hand with $1 billion? There might only be 10 out of 5 million. How many people could create new ideas? Oh, it could be 10 out of 5 million. What's the problem? They don't want to submit to those who Allah has given a gift to take us further. So who suffers? Oh, they're going to pay. But who suffers? Their children. Their children, because their children ain't dressing like that. Their children ain't going to talk like that. But we changing rules and revelations because it's one. What are you trying to say now, Mr. Muhammad? Don't you see who's out there? Humanity. Jews, Irishmen, Italians, Caucasians, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, even atheists, they're all out there marching for what's right. And they changed a lot of rules. That's what Allah wants. But we can't see it. We want to be individuals because of that. We are happy with what we're doing for ourselves. We're happy with not being transparent. We're happy with not telling the people the truth. That's the problem. Well, Mr. Muhammad, you think you're going to crack it? I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give my all and trust in Allah. You know what the beauty thing about it, Your Honor? What's that? If I really believe I can bring all these millions of Muslims together and I go in my grave and didn't do it, God will reward me as if I did. That's El-Islam. That's what being a Muslim is. So if we want to follow the word of God and have faith in him and give ourselves totally to him, he will kindly, the right, the spirit, in our hearts, he will give us that. He will kindly give us that, the right to spirit in our heart, as long as we can understand that Allah does not place a burden on a soul that it cannot withstand. That's life, brothers and sisters. With that decision, with that spirit, it'll be nothing but success. Allah taught me, Allah taught me to love by reading the Holy Quran and read His creation. That's Quran, brothers and sisters. That's in Quran. You are taught. I'm taught. We all taught to love. If you ain't reading the Quran, Allah ain't giving it to you. By reading the Holy Quran and reading His creation, that's what He said to our Father. Allah gave the earth to our Father, Adam. That's why he repented when he made his sin. But he gave it to his son. Who's his son, Murad? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are his son. Every human being came from Adam.
Yes, when we say Adam, that's Eve. And because of that reason,
Allah will help us if Allah knows. He does. Allah knows any good in your heart. He will give you something better than what has been taken from you. And He will give it. Yes. He will forgive it. He will forgive you if you did sin. If you did any sin, He will forgive you. And Allah is all forgiving and most merciful. That's our Lord. So He don't take nothing away from you and don't replace it with something better. I can tell you stories. And I use this metaphor because I think about it. I remember when I made my first world champion. His name was Eddie Mustafa. Well, he wasn't Eddie Mustafa, he won. But they took it from me. I didn't get upset. I didn't want to shoot nobody. But Allah replaced it with something greater. Here come Razor Ryan. One of the best things I had. Then they took it from me. Here come Larry Holmes. Oh, he superseded that. Then they took it from me. And here come Roy Jones Jr. Oh, we were shocking the whole world. The whole world, brothers and sisters, took it from me. And here comes Manny Pacquiao. Now, I can tell you 25 of those stories. Those just came to my head, but there's so more besides Eddie. You talk about Dwight Carvey. You can go on and on. Papia, Pedroza Gomez, Laporte. You name them. I had them. But I never gave up on God. But you want to know something? I was sleeping last night. And prior to me going to sleep, I was watching Earth, Wind, and Fire. I didn't really knew their music, but I knew they were sensational. And they were being honored. And Earth, Wind, and Fire was supposed to be mine. I got a call from the gentleman that's alive right now that's in charge. Rod, take us over and bring us back. I said, I would love to do that. Y'all one of the best groups out there. And the idea they called me, I said, but that's not my mission. I can see me right there being at that show with Earth, Wind, and Fire and taking a bow. That's what I've been known for. I've been known for the great work, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Shaq O'Neal, mother and father, stopped me in the airport, take my son over. What weight is he? No, he played basketball. What? He just come out of college. I said, I can't do it. I'm on a mission. But go, I told them what to do and how to do it, and they did just that. That's going to be in my movie. And then here comes a guy, I think he's from Vegas, but he came to me, asked me to take a football player, Salam. I don't know his first name, I forgot, but you know him, great running back. I said, I can't do it. I'll be known for what? In football. He won the Heisman Trophy the next day. I said, no, on Monday, Tuesday. Well, it was on Friday, Saturday, on the network with the Heisman Trophy. Why? That was not my mission. These are things that have happened that I didn't reject them. Sure, I wanted the music. I love music. I believe I could make a lot of money. But that was not my mission. You see, artists like that, they play on stage. And if you are a football player, you play on Saturday and Sunday. But I'm just a history. I'm in the background. I needed to build the name Muhammad. And so what superseded them was HBO. What superseded them was ABC. What superseded them was NBC, Fox Network, USA, ESPN, Showtime. What superseded them? Madison Square Garden. What superseded them? I was on TV. What they hear? Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. Not Muhammad Ali. Not Muhammad Ali. Brought to you by Murad Muhammad. This fight was not Murad Muhammad. All the networks. Why? A good name is better than gold, the Honorable Muhammad taught me. So I wanted that name. Not for me, brothers and sisters, because I should have took those men. I could have been pretty much wealthy. I could have handled every last one of them. But I knew something they were not doing. They was afraid to come on the air, especially the music game. Another story. But the point was, I wanted to be able to come on radio and teach you all what was given to me for all those years, 20-something years, with Imam Waruddin Muhammad personally. Don't even know where he lived today. Some of you million, I'll tell you where he lived. Don't know. Can't get it. You will not be able to give it to me because I don't know. But he came to me, saw something in me. And I like what I'm doing. Well, they fly me all over. The Dujuma. They fly me, I don't take one nickel. I do gymnastics, I don't take one nickel. I help people with their messages. I don't ask for one nickel. Why? That's not my point. My point was, I don't want to be alone anymore. Yes, I made a billion. Yes, I made billions for all those networks. Bill Cosby can say that. He can say it for NBC. I don't believe Oprah can say that. He can say that for... She can say that for ABC. How about Tara Perry? He can say that for Hollywood. But I talk to the world. Murad Muhammad, the greatest promoter of all times. Murad Muhammad from Venezuela. Murad Muhammad from Russia. Murad Muhammad from Kenya. Murad Muhammad from Africa. Murad Muhammad from Venezuela, Mexico. Murad Muhammad around the world, 200 foreign countries. But I'm not bragging. I'm saying if I can do that for trusting in God and doing the right things and have morals and be honest and integrity and moral decency and transparent, if that made me successful, what's wrong with us? Problem? I don't want to own you. Come back to your community. Come back to your ummah and let's be one. So our children could benefit. But you're selfish and you're greedy and something's wrong with you. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, I give you a pass. It ain't you. It's Satan. Because they know how powerful we'd be if we were together. Not going to let it. We live in their homes. They control it. We borrow from their bank. They control it. We buy our own clothes from them. They control it. We eat all their vegetables because we don't grow anything. And we believe we're eating halal. Did you know they just found out that in China they taking feces water in the sewer and strain it and then fried rice with it? In China. If it's in China, it's over here. Caught a guy, killed the dog, tried to sneak in the back end, and they bust him. But why are they out? Because they don't want y'all to know that they sell it here in the inner city. So we eating Kick Kai rice. We got other people making our bean soup. Our bean soup that our sisters and brothers grew up and kept it for themselves, all of a sudden everybody knew how to make bean soup. They stole our bean pie. They patented it. And we have all these years, they patented it. We don't even have our own restaurant. We have everybody else's restaurant. You got to be at Fridays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and any other day. You got to go out, eat home. You can't eat in your own neighborhood. Our brothers and sisters, they're burying us. And I don't blame the undertakers. They got to get paid because y'all don't own no grave sites. They're burying us. Can you believe that? They feed us. It's their hospitals that give us birth. They own our restaurants. They own our clothes. They own our future. And they know that family is going nowhere. What did that man that came over here by a boat and land into North Carolina, I think it was, Willie Lynch, Lynch City they call him. I have to say this. He said, you want to rule these niggas for another 1,000 years? Just bring all the women out. The young ones, the women, bring them all out. But get me that big nigga, that 6'7" nigga with the muscles, lean and mean. And get him and tie his hand behind his back. And tie a horse to the left foot and a horse to the right. And tar and feather him and strike a match and send the horses opposite directions. Split that man in half. You know what's going to do? That black woman going to say, he cannot help me. And she's going to teach the women how to be men. Not the male, the female. And teach them. The first thing you do is give them the check for welfare. Don't give it to the man. Make the other ruler. And watch you kick that man the hell out the house. And if that happens, all those children that's raised without a man is going in the streets. We're going to lock them up. We're going to shoot them down. We're going to kill them. And they will not grow. So unconsciously, sisters, since 1918, it's still in you. Get out. The Quran says, if y'all going to support the part, you must be the wife. Don't have sex. You must be the wife for 3 months. In the Quran, it says, brother, you can't go nowhere. You must be the husband for 3 months, but don't enter into it. Well, Allah knows that she's feeding you because she's doing her duty. You're doing your duty, but y'all can't have sex. So when the first month is over, you turn to your wife and you say, I divorce you. And the second time comes, you turn to your wife, you say, I divorce you. And one day before you're going to say the third time, she just moved the right way. She just blinked her eye. She must have said something, and you made love to her. There's no divorce. You consummated the marriage. This is in the crime. But you stupid out of there. She's stupid for sending you out of there. So it's called out of sight, out of mind. So when that happens, you don't even think about coming back. You forgot who she is and what she's about. Meanwhile, she's in there crying. She's crying and crying because she knows that without that man in the house, something is wrong. It's all in her nature. But she got too much pride to go get him. This is a shame, brothers and sisters. Now, hopefully I can wake you up because that's all I want to be successful, to come back and spend 7 years on the radio. And I went viral. And I have to say, my Christians, my Jews, my Hindus supports me. And if I had to take a count of how many ones in Islam listens to me, I could say, well, let's start with my family. There's exception to the rule, all in my family that don't even listen to me. So why would someone else from Islam would listen? But see, Allah says, my earth is spacious. See, if something don't happen in North, I'm going to Jersey. If nothing happened in Jersey, I'm going to go to Trenton. If nothing happened in Trenton, I'm going to go to Fort Lee. If nothing happened there, I'm going to New York. If nothing happened there, I'm going to Philadelphia. If nothing happened there, I'm going around the country. If nothing happened here, I'm going outside the world, outside the country. So Allah's earth is spacious. And I'm not just teaching to you all this, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. I'm teaching to every Muslim out there. For my Christians that sent me viral, and my Jews that sent me viral, and my Hindus that sent me viral, talk to them. Tell them you're not a Muslim. They're not a Muslim. And they will say, you must not be reading the Quran. I'm not in Islam. But I'm Muslim in my nature. Whoa, who taught them that? Well, you should listen to Imam Murad Muhammad, because he will teach you since you don't know. You can't take that nature away from him. Yes, the Ku Klux Klan is a Muslim. The birds and the bees are a Muslim. Yes, that pig that you don't eat, that you don't eat, he only does God's will. He's a Muslim. The stars, the moon, the sun is a Muslim. Everything created is a Muslim. But you and I is the Khalifa over top of all of them. We are the rare. We the last. The Khalifa is not a ruler, not a dictator. We're overseer of Allah's creation. That's why Iblis turned devil, because he didn't get that. We got it. Now, none of those animals, those birds, the bees, the sun, the moon, the star, including the angels, as well as the jinn, they are creatures. They are beings, but they are not human beings. I thank you for listening. If I say anything to hurt anyone out there, it's not my point to do so, and I apologize from the bottom of my heart. And if I say anything incorrect, I'm human. I make mistakes upon the law. Allah is the best knower. But if I say anything, allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your gene, a little fixture, come back to the nature in which you was created. If I say anything to allow you to have faith and belief, to be obedient to God, and to love what God wants you to love. Don't give me that credit. That's your taqwa. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you from our father, Adam. Our biological father, and to our father, Abraham, the father of all nationalities and all nations. He's the son of Adam, just like you and I. He's not our father, our biological father, but on our faith and belief in searching for God, he's the intellectual mind. Did Allah say you can see him and you need no one to have to teach? That's Abraham. For my brother, Jesus Christ, Christ means Muslim. Jesus submits to the will of God. No one could take that from him. He's Muslim. And to our brother, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, we salute him with the most excellent salute and salutation that we give to the Prophet. Prayers and peace be upon the Prophet and his descendants and his companions. And I greet you, brothers and sisters, for tuning in from the words of the Holy Quran. This is Allah's words. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you. And tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow you will have Elio Bay. He comes on from 7 to 8. Imam Elio paid back on Thursday from 7 to 8. Elio Bay. And then you have Musa. Musa Muslim Abui, the great grandson of Booker T. Washington. He comes on Friday during Yoma, and then he comes back on Saturday evening. But our beautiful sisters, boy, their mother and father, Alex OX and Robert 7X, and they will be so happy. And that Salima, who became my assistant, and her sister, Dr. Adira, and they come on to teach you about what life is about. Yes, they like home care, but last Saturday I played them on my show on Monday, and it was about a brother who knew how to talk to our youth. He's a minister, Christian minister, you see. That's who we are. And Satan wants to separate us from our Christian. And they grew up together, a mother like a mother to her. Now how are we going to forget our love, Salima? Because this is what we're supposed to do. We are duly proportioned. We're balanced. We're not too far to the left, not too far to the right. Straight down the middle, straight path of them. Sirat al-Mustaqim. So she will be on Saturday, and we do our thing on Friday at 5. I allow you all to call me. You can call me. And if you ask me anything on your mind, I will program you. I just say, Bishop Alana, Allah gives me the answer so far. This is probably our sixth or seventh time. I haven't stumbled yet. I'm quite sure it may be a question I probably can't answer. And if I can, I'll tell you in a minute. Call back next Friday. I'll get you an answer. Well, I just want to show you that we can communicate. I asked Imam Waterstein Muhammad, why you keep saying you're in paradise? He said, because I studied all revelations. I started studying all revelations. And come to find out, only thing different is the Quran makes it more clearer. But there's so much good in those books that came before the Torah and the Bible. And the reason why you can't preach the Bible, brother, is because you don't understand the Bible. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something wrong with your understanding, because the Bible is the closest thing to us as the Quran. Why? Simple. I'll leave you with this. The Bible came from Genesis to Revelation. The Quran continue with Revelation to Anas. That's what makes it different. The Anas, because they didn't read that. But the first revelation came from the Bible along with the Quran extending it. Jesus and Muhammad has came together as Jesus asked it could be. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for listening. May God be with you. And we say a dua for all those who suffer and all those who passed away, because this is 19 virus, COVID-19. And we ask Allah to separate their faults from the goodness as thou separate these from less and grand agenda. And brothers and sisters, for those who are ill right now, we say, oh Allah, lift the burden from them for you, the best knower. Surely Allah knows. I'm sure Allah Almighty speaks the truth. And we say to Allah, for those who are helping others, to give you all the barakats, so you can cash it in the final day of judgment. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. Tune in tonight and listen to who's going to be your next president of the United States. You got to take a choice. You got to vote. Yeah, it's too evil, but one is better than the other. You have to choose that, inshallah. Peace and love. I'm your host tonight, Murad Muhammad.